The Mother Earth Report with futurist Belinda Matlitsky.
Hello, Belinda.
Hi.
Okay.
Nice to be back.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you so much. You know what? We just didn't have enough time to actually talk to you properly. So, Belinda, eels. You wanted to talk about eels.
Indeed. In fact, I wanted to ask you to play In or Out with the song Cocaine, because there's quite a big surprise over here. First of all, we're dealing here with a species that is actually on the critically endangered list. And what is beginning to wipe them out in huge numbers, especially the critically endangered ones that are the European eels, is nothing other than cocaine.
How? Explain, cocaine, yeah.
Yeah, cocaine accumulation in the water. And the University of Naples is conducting this study. They found that the cocaine in the water in Europe is making the eels hyperactive, and this is causing muscle damage. Since they're endangered, I don't love the way they're creating and setting up their experiments, because recently they had 150 eels that they grew in a tank, and they exposed to the cocaine environment and then, of course, murdered and dissected afterwards to see exactly how extensive the damage had been. And the damage is horrifying. And what they found is that the challenge of actually getting all of the particles sifted out, the filtration is immense. And we have to sit up and take notice, because those nanoparticles are entering into, of course, the rest of the chain. We're always there in the chain. And you'll know that this isn't a new problem. How many times have any of us actually flushed drugs down the toilet? Well, and let's say medication. Prescribed medication.
I have to say I've never done that.
Many times.
Have you?
Many times.
Why?
Yep.
Because what else are you going to do with expired medication? It's just interesting.
You give it talking, back to your pharmacist to dispose of properly.
Interesting listening to Belinda today, because two things have happened this year that have had huge impacts. The one is the straws, the plastic. Who would have thought 9 months ago that you were ever going to have a problem with throwing a straw away? And secondly, this issue of drugs. Apparently the antibiotics, the hormones, the changes that it has in the water on people is just frightening. So Belinda, you're reinforcing.
But what about detergents? What about all the other stuff that goes into our water system?
Well, that we are exposed to as well. But when you think of how drugs work, how they have to cross the blood-brain barrier, we're talking of the nano of nanos, and size-wise, in order to actually be picked up by a neuroreceptor, et cetera, et cetera. We've got something that's not very easy to sift out, to purify. For example, we go on and on about the heavy metals when people are selling us these very expensive filtration jugs. But this is another problem entirely. And they've come to terms with the fact that they have a huge cocaine problem in Europe, which is not going anywhere soon. And here it is manifesting in the strangest of animals. Hyperactive eels. Eels freak me out as it is. The thought of an eel out of control. Altered mind space.
So Belinda,
is quite freaky.
How should we get rid of expired medication?
Yeah, what are you going to do with your cocaine, Belinda?
Well, so we've got to go the Kathy route. You're being very righteous. This is very virtuous of you, because the answer is that it does have to go back to the pharmacy, whether they complain about it or not. But, of course, people who take illegal substances are not going to dispose of them at the pharmacy. Mm. So we can be righteous and virtuous, and I'm hoping everybody who's listening will be. But about cocaine, I don't know. Because even if, it passes through the, how should we put it delicately, urinary system and the kidneys, it's coming out in the water. It's coming out in the toilet water.
Does it pass through the urinary system and the kidneys? If somebody snorts cocaine, does it?
I'm not an authority, so I can't say. But this is not from people throwing it away, basically, is what I'm saying, because it is expensive stuff.
I say stop police raids immediately. Then nobody will have to put it down the toilet. I mean, save the eels. I don't know what else to say, Belinda.
Yeah, well, what else we can say is from the sublime to the ridiculous. Well, it's not even sublime. It's from the ridiculous to the ridiculous. But rather amazing, a new career, painting.
Oh.
And different type of painting.
Mm-hmm.
Now we must encourage our kids to go into the makeup arts.
Oh.
Because we need to start painting ourselves in stripes. It has been proven in a study that has been done in Sweden and Hungary, a joint research project, looking at the indigenous folk all over the world, why people have painted themselves in strange ways, and particularly the stripe configuration, going right back to the early, early indigenous people who used to use ochre. And if you look at the zebra stripes, there are clues there too. So, Kathy and Simon, would I like to see you in zebra stripes? Trying to visualize this. It'll be very interesting. Because if you would like to, you can prepare yourself to be chowed on far less by the biting insects.
Really?
And,
wow,
yeah,
that's interesting.
This is absolutely fascinating. So the white painted stripes on the body protect from the insect bites. The male and female biting insects perceive the body in separate ways. Some prefer supine and the other ones prefer vertical. Unfortunately, the ones that we really do not like, the female ones, like the mosquitoes that do bite, have no preference. They will take either direction.
Yeah,
so you need to paint yourself.
Okay, so it's quite interesting that this study has come from zebras. Belinda, did you ever read the book Running Wild? It's by David Bristow. It's about the stallion that he was part of these bush treks. Try and pick up a copy. It's a local book, not very expensive either. And he escapes, and he, as a stallion, he goes and he lives wild with the zebra. And it's like a few years. And then they see him and, you know, I'll forget all the spoilers, but one of the things that they found out, you know, animals, if anyone who's ever owned a horse will know that once a year, for 6 week period, they have to have their horse sickness inoculations. And you can't ride them and they're not allowed to sweat and it's all sorts of things. But horse sickness is a very, very serious illness. Amongst horses globally. It's not just South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
But what they found is that he had lived with the zebra for 4 years and didn't get horse sickness. So how was that?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Well, the first thing is that the zebras are immune to the horse flies because of their particular configuration of stripes.
So it could be. But they roll in very specific herbs, like once a year.
Wow.
And that was so interesting. You have to get, I think you'd find this book fascinating. It goes into the psychology. It goes into like the mind of the horse. It's brilliant. It's called Running Wild and it's by David Bristow.
Thank you. I'm definitely going to look at that. This is certainly, you brought up so many interesting, additional subjects today. And I definitely want to check in on the veganism as well, because the vegan movement is growing not only amongst the Jewish population, but the world as a whole. And the most extreme animal liberation movements that stage the most drastic performance art actually emerge from Israel. And they've staged demonstrations where women have actually stripped naked and milked themselves, and they have branded themselves in public. They
okay, look, I think that's taking a little far.
A little extreme, but okay, they're making a point.
Yeah, but they're serious. And we have very learned brothers and sisters out there amongst our community, and I'd like them to please see if they could find the tract in the Talmud that mentions that the way in which you can identify whether a person is a true Jew is if he has or she has compassion. And so that marker, if we look at the religious aspect of veganism, ignoring the compromise that God has given us, that in, if we feel that we are so weak that we have to eat the animals, that they must then be slaughtered in a supposedly humane way, the highest root of compassion towards the other living creatures who inhabit our planet would be not to hurt them, mm-hmm. not to eat them. So therefore, it would make sense that vegetarian and veganism would be something to aspire to.
Belinda Medlitsky.
And there have
Thank
been
you.
Rabbis who have.
Well, this rabbi certainly does. Right?
Yeah, that's absolutely wonderful.
Thank you so much, Belinda. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. It's always fascinating speaking to you. I really enjoyed it. And thanks for making time to speak to Simon and I. God bless.
Pleasure.
Bye-bye.